Welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast,
where we connect creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Greger
and Sia Yasotornrat. Hello. Before we jump into our next episode, I want to make sure you are aware of our next Women in Tech Leadership event, July 31st at City Central North Dallas. We are super honored to host Ellen Sundra. She is the VP of Americas Systems Engineering at Forescout. And how awesome is she? She's flying in from Washington, D.C. to join us for this evening. So you can go to our Eventbrite link, or you can go to innovationcalling.com, Women in Tech Leadership page, to sign up. But before we even do that, Aaron, can you tell me a story?
I actually can't tell you a story because you put me on the spot. But what I can, it's the perfect intro to our next episode because we got into storytelling. We had Catherine Dollar join us, and I wanted this episode for many reasons. What were some of the key things you pulled from it?
For me, how important it is to understand that there, to build a story, you have to build some tension to capture that audience from the get-go.
Yeah. And I think with tech companies, with innovation companies, they are so focused on what they do because that's what they're great at. But they've got to, if they're going to succeed, whether it be internally, we get into this about like, you know, an innovation department trying to stand out, or trying to market to get new clients, you've got to learn how to storytell, and it's going to put you so much above your competition.
Absolutely. If you can evoke emotion talking about technology, I promise you, you will get an audience and loyalty and get that desire for people to keep listening.
Yeah. So if you're one of them that either invest your time or your money, whatever resources you have, into figuring out how to storytell and storytell well, you're going to be that much more successful. So I thought this was a really important episode. So without further ado, here is our episode with Miss Catherine Dollar. All right. Welcome to another episode of Innovation Calling. This is Aaron Greger.
And I'm Sia Yasotornrat.
All right. Today we have Miss Catherine Dollar.
Woohoo! Glad to be here.
Big money.
I want to say something stupid, but I won't.
Come on. I need to say it.
To make you holler.
No, I did not say no. I was going to say, welcome, big money Dollar.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. You know, that's not the first time I've been called that. I don't know if that makes it even funnier. Because you imagine, like, growing up, right? Like, and how creative kids get. So it was like with the last name Dollar, you know, and just, but now I like it because in what I do, it's like maybe you'll associate.
We're going to make some, we're going to make some innovative companies, whether you're big or small, some money here. So Catherine is the founder over at Moxie Blue Media. And today's episode is all about storytelling because you're a storytelling extraordinaire. I wanted to do this episode. I know Sia wanted to do this episode because I think it's so important for the companies that listen to us. They're focused on innovation. They're focused on doing great things. They're focused on in the weeds of creating. But I'm going to bet majority of them never take a step back and say, well, we need to be able to communicate this well, whether it be to outside or internal. And storytelling is such a key component. So when I say storytelling, I know it can mean very many different things to many people. Can you just say, when you're working with a company and they're coming to you and say, we need storytelling, or you're trying to pitch storytelling, can you kind of give that basic definition of what storytelling is?
Correct. Okay, so when we think of story, and you hit the nail on the head, and that so many people are using it in different ways. But when we think of clear, classical storytelling structure, I come from a fiction and screenwriting background. So this is one person, a specific character that has a problem that's going on a journey to resolve that problem. And he goes through an escalation of tension to solve that problem. That is the basic structure, right? What we see the biggest problem companies making is it is a list of facts in chronological order. So what you've lost is the plot. You've lost that moment of transition. And that's what people watch episode after episode and care about, right?
So, okay. So I think you just gave me a light bulb moment, because coming from a tech company, you think linearly. You think, oh, company was founded in 1880, and then 1900, we did XYZ, and then that.
And nobody cares about that.
But this is part of the story because it is the chronological line, the outline that you think, oh, that is a story, which is, but not necessarily in the way we're seeing a lot of execution.
Exactly. And so think about, by the time they get to the exciting part, if you're following that, or if they ever get to a part of transition, right, that's meaningful, if you're doing that in a mobile experience where on social media, they've already scrolled past your ad. They've already, because you haven't hooked them. So it's so important to not, to structure it right. And so that's the biggest mistake I see, whether regardless of types of content, even in their presentations, right? So that's a common one, that it's not actual story structure, but they want the benefits of story.
So you kind of started on this. So why is it so important for innovative companies, like tech companies, to focus on this? They're missing out. They're focusing on the wrong things. Are there any other things that they need to be, I'm assuming they're going to stand out hugely by doing this.
Really, like, story is just a tool to deeply communicate. There's several different tools. You wouldn't want to just use story. So whenever you're looking to work with someone, I mean, you want to make sure it's not just, I only tell stories, but it's a good skill set to have. But story communicates so deeply because that person lives out your experience. They completely, so you're basically setting them in a different setting that you experience. So let's take a case study example. I have a customer that's extremely happy. They had a hard problem. We solved it together.
What was the problem? Great. Can you?
Oh, this could just be anyone.
Oh, okay.
Let's say,
okay.
Let's just say we went on that journey.
Okay.
But I want other customers like that because I know other customers have that problem. All I have to do is, well, one, now I've gotten their attention because it's engaging. It's a story. But now they're taking on that feeling of anxiety by the story, that feeling of relief when that story has been completed because that problem's now been completed. So they've done a lot of studies, researchers, like they can literally watch the brain patterns change when people listen to stories. So there's actual scientific, like, background to how stories work and actually put you in that moment so you're living it out. So when you want to deeply communicate and it's not just talking about, you know, hey,
a security
because
breach.
Of why, yeah, you're putting them in that moment. They feel that. So that's the emotional part. The logical part to it is it puts context around the problem. So going back to cybersecurity, they want to talk speeds, feeds, you know, how fast it goes, how many logs of data. Okay, so how does that make me solve this certain problem I'm dealing with? So on the logical point, we just talked about the emotional, right? Now I feel safe to trust. I trust this company on like an emotional level. I feel safe. This is the logical. Oh, I quickly understand context around how this is going to solve the problems I'm dealing with today. So it's less mental energy on the customers to have to figure out what you do.
It's really about how does it relate to me? Like, what is it? Mm-hmm.
And I think when we've been talking to clients, Aaron, and I don't know if you've noticed it as well, is we have a lot of tech-based organizations that say, hey, we like the idea of podcasting in general for themselves, but what would we talk about? You know, we're a, I don't know, systems integrator, right? So what do we talk about that? And I can't help but think what you're saying right now is think about your audience, right? And I think that's so critical in storytelling. I think we have to remember that this is not just a, you know, Aesop's fable, or it could be a Grimm's fairy tale, or it could be a Disney version of stories.
Is it always fiction or nonfiction, though? I think that's a
great question.
Because, you know, you see your story, you think of the Grimms and the Disneys, mm-hmm. but is it always fiction?
No, a lot of it's nonfiction because it has to be. But you can do both. So I'm going to give examples of both, which is so fun.
Perfect.
But documentaries, in a sense, are even nonfiction, right? It's just the way they're told. So going back to the structure we just talked about, it's on how you place that. Isn't it Insider or Trader Joe's? It's doing the podcast Insider Trader.
Yes.
It's all about what food people like. Well, think about it, it's a documentary, but it's still a story about why people turned out that way and why they – there's still story even woven into it. It's just about why they became the way they are. We still see that transition of a character, right? But then we also see great examples of science fiction and actual fiction doing well for technology companies or electro. So GE, General Electric, right? The message, isn't that – out of all branded podcasts, I believe it's still considered – by its metrics to be the most successful, and it is science fiction. And it's because of the engagement they're getting, right? How they're driving that track. So we see both working really well in all mediums.
So is storytelling, where does it fit? So when I say you need to have storytelling, you know, we think of podcasts. I know you do a lot of other work in other areas. Is it only for marketing? Is it internal? Like, where within a company, a tech company, does storytelling fit?
Several different areas and departments, and it's really down to where are you having your communication problems within the company. Is it to your customers? Is it within investors? Is it within teams? Is it with your partners? And then we go in and look at, like, what is that? So maybe in the innovation team, they're kind of having trouble come up with some ideas. Maybe engineers aren't working closely together. Let's take some examples from MIT has whole classes on fiction to prototype. So they use stories to build out prototypes and get themselves thinking creatively. So in that sense, you're not using it for marketing. I mean, yeah, once they build that innovation or come up with ideas, great. We have some use cases they've already developed in the lab to use for the marketing. But so there's innovation, there's internal conflict, there's your sales presentations and demos. When you finally get all your executives in one meeting, right? You've spent months trying to get all these people in one room. You're about to close this deal, and gosh, you better keep all their attention, because they're the people that if they get bored, they're going to start scrolling on their phone and looking at their emails. So you need to make sure they get the full value of what you're doing. And then we clear up to your marketing, right? So whether you're doing it on social media, your website, your case studies.
Okay.
How well do you think with your clients, how well do you think they know their audience as they're marketing towards them?
Depends on who you talk to.
I mean,
sales, because you know what? Sales gets so much face-to-face time. And depending on what the person does. So if you're talking about brand as a whole, it's hard to answer because there's people within the organization. They just know their people so well. And I have to work closely with those. If all the campaigns that have been my most successful have been because I worked within someone in that company who knew their audience. They'd either worked with them directly because they were the channel partner account manager person. They were in sales. They happened to be a marketer that worked closely with them or had also gotten this information, know marketing well, right? But they'd still have that information given to them. That's when you're successful, because you have to know your audience, right?
Right.
So I can't go in there and just magically, like, no one tell me anything and then, okay, like, I'll just whip up a story. Like, it could be good. It could be well written, but it doesn't mean it's going to work for your goals, right?
So do you actually spend time with, like, let's say the field and understand and their environment? Or if I can, data and analytics, how much are marketing using that as a basis versus the field?
They give me all their research. So they might have had analysts in another company come in and do a bunch of research and, like, surveys and all that good stuff. Right, yes. So they give me a lot of research, but then I also get to interview the engineers and a lot of people in the field and their channel partners and sometimes customers. So I get a lot of data, both from word of mouth, right, and
anecdotal, if you will.
Yeah, like your basic, like, there's the suggested reading, which is like, you know, Verizon's report, you know, cybersecurity breach report. There's like suggested reading and then their own research that they usually have had conducted, yeah, by other companies.
So we've been talking about an external facing storytelling for branding, marketing, et cetera. What about internal?
Yeah, it was
because for me as a salesperson, I had zero retention desire. Until I did notice they did a training once that actually did more storytelling. It was putting me in scenarios, situations to learn a concept. So how often do you see that for internal purposes?
Like training? Mm-hmm. In that example, or like
or HR, whatever. Is or it training sales? Or
– Well, or, even just like to your point too, training, and then even if I'm doing a – like building, right? I'm in the tech, I'm in innovation, but the salespeople know the customers really well. Just exactly from that example of, okay, you're in sales, you know your customer, but here's some stories to really understand who you're building things for or who you're innovating for. Can you use it that way internally too?
Absolutely, because then I'm getting the stories from sales, right? And you're helping the engineers understand that, and it's kind of back and forth. So what's interesting is this is interesting, I think, is story is such a part of our communication style. Let's say I give someone a story. Sometimes just to get engineers talking, I will – and I don't know the technology. I'm not an engineer, right? But I've got to understand how this thing works. And so I'll give out an example of how it works or how I think it should work. And I know I'm going to be wrong the first chance, but no one's on the calls talking yet, right?
Right.
But then they're like, oh, no, that's not how it works. And then they'll give me the whole answer. They'll give me the whole story. So what you see, and then another one will be like, oh, but, you know, I thought, what about this? And then, and you see everyone starting to talk in stories. And then they'll back it up by the technical info. And it's just a really, when I get the transcripts and you're on the call, it just becomes like this really interesting dynamic and in how you get people thinking and talking like that and solving problems faster. So to answer your question in short, yeah, it's great from department to department to quickly, like, match this out. And then it just makes it easier because since every department, even marketing to customer, is going to talk in that language, you're not having to do as much as, well, now this is too technical. So now we got to de-technicalize it for marketing. You know what I mean? There's less steps.
Yeah.
To so, use.
Well, to Sia's example, Sia, were they like...
It was an HR compliance video, actually. In order for us to be remaining employed at the organization, we had to go through, you know, sexual harassment. It was a sexual harassment training. Yay for us.
I was hoping it'd be a little more interesting than that. But I was like, oh, did you learn about the technical team or something? But okay,
No. That was the one that was top of mind. But no, I have had one where we had to learn a new server rollout, a product rollout. And to me, I'm like, it's a server, people. How much more fun can it be? But they actually did it in a really engaging way. And I thought it was fascinating because I'm like, oh, damn it. They made me learn. They done made me learn, you know? And I felt good about myself because, you know, as a salesperson, you don't think of yourself as necessarily the techie tech. But when you understand a concept and you can go in confidently to a client to say, hey, guess what we just rolled out and blah, 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 it makes your life a hell of a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. Right. So what did they use story? Did they use another technique? What'd they do?
It was a combination of things. So one of which they did like a video scenario of a role playing, if you will, and you kind of were part of it and you got to pick your own adventure, you know, the thing. But they actually followed through as far as like if you picked that thing, they actually showed you the response kind of thing, you know. And I thought that was neat. And then there was the other one where it was they whiteboarded it. But I love whiteboard stories. Like those people who can draw and carry you through, that to me is also visually impactful as well as audibly impactful.
That sounds like an awesome training, like rollout.
Yeah, it was really neat. Yeah.
I like how they gave examples of like how it's going to work because that's the context we go back to. What helps in, right? So,
well, I mean, So, you know, when you think of like a standard, like, you know, choose, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, would you do X, Y, Z, right? And then they would say, wrong, do blah, 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 right? This one actually had it followed through. Okay, you pick that, then you're going to see this person respond. You know, and I thought that was really cool because it's human emotions. Like you say, it actually got me thinking about how it's going to affect, you know, my responses were affecting that person. It was really cool.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I think it was expensive, though, to be honest, because I never saw it again.
Yeah.
It was very effective, but very expensive.
And that goes back to how much are people willing to invest in this type of communication?
There is no limit to what people are. I mean, it depends on size of company, but I mean, it varies. And it varies on what they need, right? And it depends on so many different factors, but... I know I just gave you a really vague answer.
No, it's
you're looking
okay.
at me like, but it's so hard to answer. Yeah, because I don't know, like, if you're looking for percentage of their marketing budget, I don't have that type of numbers because it's so interwoven. Because so many things, you're not just calling, like, this is just, you know, it's some that's educational content, but they just needed more story interwoven through it because it was too dry. So I don't know if you'd really say it still goes towards marketing. Even though I don't know if you'd call it directly a story. Yeah. Does that make sense?
So if you're working with like a product marketing group, okay, or maybe an engineering group to help them articulate what they've just put together, are you finding a lot of the budgets, are they coming from marketing or HR specifically, or are you seeing multiple silos contributing to this?
Multiple silos, especially sales enablement, channel marketing, some corporate internal marketing, and that's for your much larger companies that are, you know, global size. They have your North America teams, your EMEA teams, your Asia, you know, so that's coming from, yes, many different departments, maybe head of department, maybe it's not just marketing sales, but maybe it's like head of the cloud and security department.
Yeah, very specific group.
Groups, yeah, especially, within the organization.
Especially if it's a very targeted message, then it makes sense as if it's relevant to them specifically. Can I shift a little bit, Aaron? Because I just had a thought in my head.
No, you're not allowed to shift.
No, damn it, no. Okay, I'll sit here.
Go for it.
I just made eyes at Aaron. I made puppy dog eyes.
She did. I just saw the sad eyes.
Okay, so... we just talked about like how a major corporation business global entity would look at storytelling. But what about entrepreneurs and startups? what is it fair to say that perhaps maybe the ability to tell their story is more important as they launch their business?
I would say not so much their story is the stories of value that could be brought by whatever service, product. Because again, it's just about who they're talking to. And so what anyone needs is like those conversational stories, whether you're sending it face to face and we're talking, I've met you somewhere via email, like however I'm going to communicate with you. But I have to be able to give relevant examples of how my service or product might help whatever problem you said you're having. Right. So it's more, it's personal. It's, that's what I would say is more important than anything. And then those can also become your online. So as you build out, but it all starts with the conversation, right?
Yeah.
And then you build out your blog and social media and then you build up, but then you're going to have that initial content and start getting your own case studies because you got to start getting clients.
Right.
You got to start getting customers. And it starts with how you have that initial conversation and start selling in the first place.
Let me ask this first. To see his question, I'm a startup. I know I want to market, and the idea usually is we've got this great product or service. Everybody's going to be so flippin' excited as soon as they see this product or service. We don't have to do anything because they're just going to want it. You launch, you know, it's not the case. People just don't, if you build it, they will not come on average. So as they're looking at it, what are those key components? Maybe they don't have a ton of customer data yet, but they know they've got the great story of the why behind this, the problems they solve, the things they do. Is it there's data, there's customer testimonials, there's those things we can look at. What are some other things we can look at to tell our story?
I mean, really, you could look at hypothetical scenarios. So let's say it's a brand new product and you're just trying to get your first beta users. I mean, you're just, you know, that is hypothetical. You've thought them out. So they're, I don't want to say they're fictional, but they're kind of fictional.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, this is how we intend it to work. And then, I mean, yeah, because if it doesn't work like that, it's still going to flop. You're still going to get a bad name. Unless then, you know, then we go to other parts of the company that are responsible. How's your customer service? You know, how do you take care of once you've said, hey, this is how it should work and it totally doesn't? How do you make that right between them, whatever that's going to mean, right? So there's definitely your hypothetical scenarios, definitely then the real stories that you're getting from people. Straight up fictional stories, again, completely made up, but not might necessarily be hypothetical. They're just straight up entertaining because, and I wouldn't see many brands doing that. I would still think they would go slightly more hypothetical scenario, even though it still fit in the fictional realm. And then there's ones based on data, which technically, if they're not backed by customer stories, are still hypothetical.
But I think it's
predictive,
important,
right? If you're seeing predictive data.
And I think that's important, though, because like I said, I know so many times it's very single-minded. It's very, we're just going to tell them what exactly this does. And it's just, they're going to buy it. And like you said, if it doesn't relate to me, if I don't get it, how much is it important too? I think Sia touched on this a little bit, but how important is it to connect with the story of the founder, the story of the employees, the story of, as you may put that out to your marketing, to interweave that to make it, to humanize the tech company?
I think it depends on what their story is.
Yeah.
But most of the time,
I'm a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
Don't tell your story if you're a jerk.
Well, no. Some people are. Some people have found their foundation of being jerks is their that is their claim to fame
or their brand. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
who are you talking about?
Oh, I can't say.
Okay.
Oh, I love.
All
it.
Right, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. We could talk that off camera or off recording.
I would say that is not the most important story. That is a credibility story. That is a story of survival. That is a story of mission. But the thing that's going to get their attention most is the things that are most relevant to them, right? So, okay, think about we're in Texas right now. So most of us have we're going more towards public transportation. I love it, right? But a lot of us still have
pretty far off,
at least one vehicle in the family, right? So think of your car. It's probably been a manufacturer that's been around for a long time. Do you care that they had the best engine 60 years ago, or do you care that they might have had a recall this year because they're all blowing up? What do you care more about? People
definitely
today, you care more about what they're doing now than they did necessarily. Now, if they have a long track record of doing great and always being the best, or you see like, oh, they did horribly, but then they came back and they've made it so right with their customers, see, that's still a great story. Right? But that's not necessarily the most important thing is what's happening now, the transition of now. And that's credibility in the background.
That is so funny because when I went car shopping, you're exactly right, because the brand I ended up going with did have a long history of a great reputation, and then they had a down slide. And then within the last 10 years, they actually came back. Well, see, they changed ownership, and it really changed and enhanced the brand back where it was. That's pretty much why we went with it, because otherwise, if I went with the previous history with the older generation car when it was on its downslide, I would have hated the experience. So I think you just brought it to me.
Well, and I love that example, too, because I think customer, you know, you think of like, okay, how do we tell the great story of what's happened? How do we tell the great story? I know this isn't a tech company, but I really, Domino's did this really well when they had that whole controversy of, I think somebody was putting pubic hair in the pizzas. I don't remember. But they had a huge public relations kind of nightmare. And they they pulled it into the story to say, hey, we screwed up. We did this. And I remember the CEO getting forward. And I think great brands can do that, too, to weave in. We know and tell the story of what they've done to make things right. Brands have done that. Wells Fargo tried to do that, and the CEO came on, and it just fell flat, like that whole thing. And it just was like fell on flat ears. And I think if it could have been woven more correctly, where it wasn't just a stale CEO, like, but really like a story of what they're doing to change things, you could even use that to make things right, like get another car back, even though you've screwed up.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that.
But anyway, I don't know. Sorry, Domino's, if it wasn't pubic hair and pizzas, but it was bad.
Yeah, we're going to get a letter now.
Oh, we'll fact check that later.
Actually, Domino's, please write us a letter because that means you're listening. Someone's listening somewhere as we talk into the ether.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. No, it's funny you say that because some of my clients are ones that are trying to make a comeback. And so it's like we've improved it, you know, and we have customers for this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But maybe it's a certain product line or, you know, there's just something a little sensitive there, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to say that.
So I mean, going back to your comment earlier about, you know, the basis of stories is you have to create tension, right, for the protagonist, antagonist, et cetera. And then there's a conclusion, right, and kind of comes back down. And
that's what keeps engagement. That's what keeps people curious to keep watching.
So
when we think a story, yes.
Okay, so when I say that is, do you find businesses maybe not wanting to build that tension because it shows vulnerability on their part? Or do you think they will embrace it because they know that's a hook to pull people in?
Well, I've seen companies do it really well, though, because they're talking about how the product can be used in certain different scenarios. So it's like they might lead. So I saw, okay, to give you context, Google Calendar Goals did a great job of it. It's a 3-minute, I think, video. And it shows a guy who has, he goes through three different challenges just about his day, you know, or about few days, you know, late to a meeting, had to reschedule something. His app does it, right? His bike got stolen. Okay, now I got to and, you know, the app's whole. So it kind of shows throughout that day. So we see growing tension throughout his day, but how the app's fixing it. So we see problem, quick resolution, another problem, quick resolution. So that's where, I mean, we're kind of keeping it high level today. But yeah, I've still seen brands do it really well, and then others not so much. But you could even do one point of tension and then a resolution, because a lot of these people, they're going to be trying to do it for 30-second story intervals because it's an ad that's 30 seconds long on Facebook or LinkedIn or something. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no,
I started rambling there.
That's perfect.
No, that was perfect.
What other examples do you have of companies that you've seen, maybe you're helping, you want to talk about, but that are really doing storytelling well, whether it be in marketing or internal, like examples you have that you've really like, wow, that's a really good use of it?
I'll give an internal example I think is really interesting, as we forget so much of what happens in those actual meetings. So especially for innovation companies where, you know, these are big purchases and there's just a lot of decision making made. It can go on for months, and then you got this big project that can go on for years. I mean, it's a big deal. You know, you can get difficult personalities in the room. You can get people that have – I worked with one guy who finally got in the meeting and, you know, is working with this account, but this person that had worked with his company 20 years ago still had like an emotional bias. Like, I don't want to work with, so he's always bringing the energy down in the room. Mm. So it's like working with some of their internal teams to like, okay, I'm dealing with this difficult personality. Like, cause sometimes instead of giving direct statements, they have to lead the whole conversation with story. Cause when you do that, it lowers people's emotional like bias down. So you have to kind of, so I think that's just an interesting use of when you're dealing with difficult personalities or negotiations, right, or coming down to this, like how they've used it. Other people I've seen doing it really well and creatively is just like in our outward content that we see, like the GE example with podcasting. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome that they went out and built like the science fiction. We've seen them. We've seen Intel and Toshiba do that with video. We've seen a lot do that. So I think that is really interesting to see how they got to realize, like, yeah, you entertain them and you can find ways to put your product in there and create discussions from that, because stories also create discussion. So that's why it works so well for them.
Yeah, get people talking about your brand.
Yeah.
I don't think people think of that enough. Like, they're just see it, buy it, done. But how can you really create that long-lasting
stickiness?
Have you heard this? Like, and they happen to sell whatever, but this is really cool what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Or have you seen this commercial about, you know,
I'm Batman and everyone's talking about Snickers. Sorry. That was me. Random.
You're hungry.
A Snickers always sounds good.
But again, it actually, you know, incorporated a story that we relate to, or, you know, Batman, the branding, right, with a product where they can, you know, they see someone running around an office, which we all can relate to, sitting in a cubicle world, right? I mean, that's just funny stuff, you guys. I mean, come on.
No, I agree. So any other tips and tricks for a brand, whether, like I said, I think this fits in large and small, but how they can do storytelling right. So if you were to say, all right, here, and you don't have to use these examples, but just like what I'm thinking of, okay, strip out the tech talk, like make it simple. So, you know, how do they look at, and so many of these people are just like, they're dug and they know their craft, and they may be a little condescending sounding because they're really smart. They know their stuff, but that may not convey well as they're trying to talk to others about it. So any tips that you have of how they can look at what they do, look at how they've helped people, and strip that down to be able to share a great story?
Yes. So the first, the example is tips for how to build one.
Yeah. Like how can you create the great story?
To create a great story is think of a problem that someone has come to you and had, or that's a hypothetical problem, the one you're trying to solve, mm-hmm. and work its way to the solution. So I'm not saying they have a problem with threats coming in, so we implanted this firewall and I hooked this thing into this, you know what I
right.
mean? I'm like,
yeah, I'm going to gloss over the minute you start getting into those details.
It's more like,
you don't want to know if it's going to go into port 42 versus port 28.
Does mean nothing to me.
I mean, you could get granular, but it's more like my goal was to do this. This thing kept coming in, but my other thing wasn't working because I wasn't getting these notifications weren't coming up right. It wasn't picking up on the level I needed to of severity, so it wasn't taking action based on my automation rules. And so this one let me do that. When we tried it, it caught it down by 93%, where I'm having to do less manual work. And so now I'm getting more time to strategize. Excuse me. You know, it's something like that, where it's still plot driven. You're seeing like something move across without having to go through every single device it went through. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and I even think of like, I know you work a lot in cybersecurity specifically. And I think of like, when I hear cybersecurity, eyes gloss over, not my problem, blah, 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 blah. And I remember a presentation I went to just a couple months ago where this guy like dummied it down. And it was like, okay, you know where cybersecurity comes from is I can watch you on social media and figure out who you work for and get in and send you a specific email. All of a sudden that is like, holy crap, this does apply to me. This is really important. And even sharing a simple story like that can make people perk up and say, or I haven't had a data breach, so I really don't care what happened at the data breach. But all of a sudden it's like, holy mother, our company is mega susceptible right now because I didn't even think of Mary posting on social, like Twitter, about she's got that she works here. She's posting her phone number to somebody because she wants them to call her. And I can see that and know she works with the CFO and get right in. But like sharing a story like that, all of a sudden is going to make me pay a lot more attention to your company because I didn't realize how relevant it really was to me.
Absolutely. And on that, I want to say, because you bring up a good point, and the second tip I would give someone is going through a problem, but in relation to the context of all the other stories that your audience is getting. And to give you an example, I went to a cybersecurity conference, and all of these companies are trying to do stories, and the ones they did tell were all the same. And it's just kind of like you're getting batted over the head with, we know these are the problems now. So this industry's done a really good job of creating a high-level view. Like once you're in it, you're kind of hearing those same things over and over again. So now, okay, the audience has already heard all these. So let's go a step down deeper that shows how we saw the specific. It's almost like they had to go a layer down to actually now differentiate, because those stories were becoming so common, almost like urban, like I don't want to call it urban legend because they're happening, but they were just so mainstream. It wasn't necessarily interesting to hear it from you anymore.
Yeah, you're talking about it. This guy over here is talking about it. This chick over here is talking about, okay, I heard it before. Why would I buy from person A versus person C?
So it was still story, but a slight level down to show how things were working within that level of the story. I'm going to have to show you a great example. Okay, the closest example I could think of is, you know those movies where they're showing like the gambler, was it 21 or something, where they're kind of doing the magic tricks in the casino?
Yeah, the MIT students.
You know how at sometimes the camera angles down on the entire casino and you see them walking around, and then the other times it comes down and you see them flipping the cards under the table, and you see like the underneath things that are happening to make the big picture happen? That's what I mean by going down this level lower to show how you're different when everyone else is talking about the higher angle level.
Oh, I like that analogy.
I do too.
We don't like that it happened in Vegas. Vegas, we're not, we want to come to here.
She's lying. That's actually our side gig. We're going to Vegas this weekend.
So storytelling, I wish. God, I wish. But storytelling, it fits. So we got it in marketing. You know, where are some examples they can use? We've talked about podcasting. Can they use, I like the kind of behind the scenes too part, like showing a little bit more in depth. Do you recommend like social being a channel, white paper? I mean, where exactly, like yes is the answer yes to everything if storytelling fits. Like where, if I wanted to start storytelling, where, what are a couple key components I can start implementing it to as I try to communicate it?
Case studies. The best things you can get are just the cut. Because guess what? You can use them for anything. You can use them on your social, your email, your salespeople can use it. So no matter who you are, having a strong base of use cases, case studies, can use them for anything. Right?
Okay. So selfishly, Aaron, I'm just thinking we need to tell them you can do a case study and you absolutely have to have it written. But there are a lot of people on the go and on the move. Why don't you audible?
Yeah, like have it recorded versus... And we've got a company that can help you do that. So.
Yeah,
Audible, or make it a podcast series.
Yeah,
because again, it's coming over problems. Like you get, I mean, hello. Yeah, seeing some good ideas come up. But that's the number one thing I would focus on is, and then it would be your own story, because your own story is that credibility factor and kind of your mission, and people kind of want to figure out if you're going to keep sustain. You know, again, you're kind of building up that momentum. Like, what's going to happen? Are they going to actually call? Like, aren't we all kind of watching Elon Musk and? You know, some of these other companies, like, are they actually going to do it?
Right.
And then it goes down to asking the question of where do I need the most? Where are the gaps in my communication? Where are the broken parts that we just feel like this is why we're not moving forward?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it, you know, you will see it with, you know, within the teams, it's internal. I just categorize it as internal.
Yeah.
And then there's channels. We see it a lot with channel partners. So if you're selling through other... You know this. That's probably why you had being in sales. Yeah.
The two-tier distribution model, it's like a game of operator. The message diminishes over time.
And so, and you know, the channel partners, I mean, they're used to hitting their numbers and stuff the way they've been doing it. So all of a sudden you're trying to get them to sell something. You're making them figure out how they're going to explain this technology. So a lot of people on the channel marketing side we work with develop stories so that it helps their channel partners, one, get excited about it, and then know how to go explain it to customers and market it.
Yeah. No, and to your point, I want to pull it out from like your Elon Musk example. SpaceX isn't like, I'm looking at, thinking of SpaceX. They're not getting into the nitty gritties of the how, and they're not communicating exactly that, but they're sharing their story as they go. And like you said, we're all kind of root. We know who they are. We know what they do. We know what they're up to. And we're all rooting for them, too. And I think that's another opportunity, especially for the startups, the businesses, or innovation labs. They're share as you go. Share what you're working on. Share the wins that you have, even though we all know SpaceX hasn't hit their ultimate goal, right? But they're showing it, the process along the way. And I think that really gets people excited about what you're doing. It gets people... And I think that's a really missed opportunity because people are like, we have to go in a hole until we do this thing that we say we're going to do. But you can get champions as you share your journey. And that's a whole nother side of storytelling that I think a lot of people skip out on.
And it's so scary because I know that feeling. You know, we've all been there.
Who you don't want to show vulnerability. Yeah.
But dare I say it's almost crucial to build those relationships and keep going because we all know it's not like – no one's an overnight success. So it's not like you're going to suddenly come out of the woodworks. You know, what's the age-old saying is like, oh, yeah, I'm a 20-year overnight success. And then work with people that are going to help you craft it in a way where you're not sharing too much. But you know what I mean? Like you craft it where you're comfortable, but you're still showing the right amount of vulnerability, authenticity, but also structuring it in an engaging, like exciting way.
I mean, it just reminds me of, and I don't watch those shows, but I definitely see a lot of people sharing snippets of it is like, you know, America's Got Talent or American Idol, and they would do a backgrounder of a singer or a performer.
Yeah.
And to me, in the beginning, I'm like, ooh, that's fascinating. And I think that's why those types of shows got popular. But you're right. After a while, you're like, I've heard this sob story every freaking – I've heard it already before.
Yeah, what's going to make you different? You need to have cancer plus have illegitimate children plus live in a small town plus
have two toes.
Exactly. That's horrible.
I know.
All right. We kind of digress.
I know. Sorry, but yeah. No, well, I'm the queen digressor here, so – but I am relating to it, and I think that's why, you know, it's going to work in for a lot of different companies. And I think – companies need to leverage it more. So I'm going to ask you, do you work with training companies to help them develop their materials to help better message or train Salesforce, for example, to better tell stories?
More, it comes more from sales enablement. So it doesn't get into the technical training. It's more the store. So the stories I've been working on for the sales enablement training side is more, this is what you're about to learn and why you're about to learn all these details, because this is how it's going to work in these real life scenarios. And then they go in and go through a course, which I'm sure could probably even use more stories in those to kind of help keep it, you know, who wants to go there next? You know, I mean, it's just this plugs into here. You type this here.
I mean,
like drag and drop here.
The fact that you are not technical, but yet you understand the concepts, as like you said, they share their experience stories or whatever, their background. I think that's really unique. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're big money, Catherine Dalla.
Right. Well, it's amazing. Again, it goes back to the stories. I mean, if you go back to my transcripts, they have to get technical. But you really, it's just so interesting. It's like all these little stories being back told and forth. And that's how, even though I'm not an engineer, I don't have highly technical background. I mean, some of my clients, we have bets to see how many I can go sell to in a conference, you know, just because it's fun. They feel like I know it so well. They feel like relate it, because all I got to do is, you know, and so we just kind of have fun with it because they're like, yeah, we could probably send you and do a meeting, at least for the, you know, to get the second more technical one, but that's what they want.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of fun.
Well, I think this is very relevant. I'm excited about this one because, like I said, I think there's a lot of people who are trying to build great companies that hopefully had a light bulb go off as they listen to this. Like, so this is maybe what we're missing, because I know it's very frustrating. You build great technology. I know for Innovation Labs alone, like they're at, I feel like Chicken Little, but let's be honest, a downturn is coming and their department is going to be one of the first ones to get hacked, because ROI is not as apparent. ROI is not. And if they're not sharing their story, even internally with the company, they could be on the chopping block. And I'm not trying to doom and gloom, but I think it's really important to learn how to share the stories, the problems you're solving, the things that you're doing. So maybe it's like a SpaceX where it's not a super obvious win, but you're making strides and you're helping the company get better by what you're doing and what you're failing on and what you learned by that failure, or whatever it is. It's okay to share those. So Catherine, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh, we need help, where can they go to find you?
My LinkedIn is a great place, Catherine R. Dollar. Okay. And then also the Moxie Blue Media website, moxiebluemedia.com.
Okay. And we'll have those on our notes page over at innovationcalling.com. So thank you. Sia, any last
thoughts? No, I'm going to just keep calling you Big Dollar. Or wait, Big Money.
Big Money. I like Big Money.
Big Money.
Yeah.
Hey, Big Money.
Big K Money. Big Money.
Big Money K.
Big
Money K.
Yeah. I think that's the
I think
winner.
You just rebrand yourself now. Your name is now Big Money K.
There we go.
No,
changing all my handles on social media.
No, I really am excited to see, you know, with your clients and how you're helping them, because I think tech does struggle with a bit of relatability. So thank you for your service.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it is fun. You guys too. So, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we finally did this. This is great. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And
we wrap it up another episode of Innovation Calling.